You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil. How are you, gentlemen? I'm here with Ken, Matt, and Jeff.
Good evening.
Ah, Dracula, thank you for coming back.
Mm-hmm. The sun's down, so.
The sun is down.
Ooh, it's a night episode.
It is a night episode, which we, as we know, that means all bets are off.
Yeah, no bets in this one?
There is some bets going on under the
side
table.
Side bets.
Yeah.
No, we can't taxes. Do a bet because it's not like the four of us against each other. That's how that works.
Oh, that means we have a special guest.
We do have a special guest, and I guess that means that we can't be the Pete Rose of podcasting here and bet on ourselves to win or lose.
I would never bet on myself to lose or win. I don't know how this works.
Would you bet on yourself for anything?
No.
No? What if there was a podcasting thing in Vegas, like you could bet on podcasts?
To succeed or fail,
I guess, yeah.
Over, under listens?
I would not bet on that because there's plenty of podcasts out there that I'm like, why would anybody listen to this?
That's true. Well, I mean,
name them.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what would the prop bets be, though? Like mention of Dutch Boy, like someone's
a
pun, a really bad pun.
Yeah, we're going to have over, under.
The return
like, whether
of
or
Dick
not,
Gutley.
Whether or not Neil does more than 2 minutes, 20 seconds worth of impressions per episode.
Yes, exactly. There's a lot of prop bets that we could have.
Yes or no, back tattoo.
That's true. That'd be a really good, a good prop bet. No, but no, last thing I wanted to say, though, was according to Vegas, not really according to Vegas, but I saw a notification we got today that we had reached number 7 in the U.S. for podcasts about games.
Oh.
Sports and games, yeah.
Sports and games. That's the highest we've ever been.
Who's beating us?
I don't know, actually. We should look it up. But we've got
numbers 1 through 6.
Oh.
I've only seen us as high as like 23, so we've gotten up to 7 for some reason.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who listens and tells their friends to listen and keeps listening over and over.
And we have 2 of them here.
And we do.
Wow.
Not here, but.
Okay, good.
Well, we decided it's a small room. We wanted to do a podcast with an international flair. So we said we're only going to have guests on from different countries, you know, outside of the U.S. because we've had enough people from the U.S. Too much U.S. Too much us, for that matter.
For sure. There's way too much us on that show.
We have 2 special guests here. Our first special guest coming to us all the way from Auckland, New Zealand, Savage Superstar on Patreon, Ryan Boyd. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Great. Doing well. And you told us today that you're recording, I believe you're supposed to be working, and you also are working from a bedroom with a frozen blanket behind you.
Yeah, I'm in my daughter's bedroom. She's at school, so it's not a nighttime episode where I am. It's lunchtime now. But yeah, so don't tell my boss that I'm doing this, okay?
All right. Also, don't tell them to listen, okay?
Yes.
I know your daughter has the frozen bedspread, but you also have one, right, in your room?
Well, of course. It's you got to have matching.
Yeah, it was buy one, get one, so.
Yeah.
So I got one for her as well, yeah.
And Ryan got Olaf.
Well, hey, Olaf, so you can't, nothing too bad to write home about. Ryan, you have been on the show before, but can you remind folks what you do out there in Auckland?
Sure. So I work for a bank doing non-banking things. I've got a wife and a couple of kids, a 5-year-old and a 6-month-old. You might have heard our 5-year-old on the show quite regularly. She does some of the Macho Man impersonations.
Yeah,
classic.
Yeah, that's basically our life is, taken up with family. doing stuff.
But thank you, Ryan, for joining us today. So happy to have you back. Our host today, who's going to be giving us the questions, he's coming to us from Scarborough in Ontario in Canada, which we're super excited about to have a different international listener here from a different side of the earth. He's an Oakland 5 supporter on Patreon, and that is Mike Sforza. How are you, Mike?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did I say the name okay?
Yep, that sounded fine to me.
All right, I was internally combusting, but I'm glad I got it right. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you have in store for us today?
Well, I am a sales administrator for a music technology company. It's a nice title, but I'm basically just fill the holes and where the company needs me.
Okay.
Jack of all trades.
Yep.
And what are you doing out in Scarborough in your free time?
Mostly gaming.
Nice.
It's the COVID protocols up here were pretty strict, so stay inside for a while.
A lot of hockey watching and maple tree.
Let's not talk about hockey right now.
Oh, I know. Sorry.
Oh, but the Leafs, yeah.
Yeah, the Leafs. It was their year, I heard.
But the Flames.
I don't know who you're hearing it from because it's not Leaf fans.
And the Oilers are still in.
So speaking of games, is there one game you'd recommend right now that you've been loving if people want to just check out a game?
Well, I've been playing Tiny Tina's Wonderlands because I'm a big fan of the Borderlands series.
It's very funny that you should say that because I was going to be like, I hope he says Tiny Tina's because that's been played a lot in our house. It's like Borderlands meets D&D. It's very funny.
I've seen the trailer.
Yeah, Will Arnett voices someone in there, and so does Detective Peralta.
Andy Samberg.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, we'll definitely have to check that out. And then also speaking of games, Ryan, we were talking about this before we started recording. We all love footy here, obviously. We have a lot of Australian listeners. We were just kind of debating. We know that New Zealand is big on rugby and soccer or football, but does anyone there actually care about footy since you're so close or not really?
What do you mean when you say footy?
There's the answer. Yeah, Australian rules football. Yeah.
No one cares about that.
Okay, that's what I figured.
See, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
New Zealand's got to be the rugby, right?
Yeah, it's all rugby, cricket, bit of soccer. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the All Blacks.
Speaking of sports, mm-hmm. Matt is going to be teaming up with Ryan.
Yeah,
to help out with some of that North American sports trivia.
Yeah, what's your team name, Matt?
Well, he is a Kiwi. I like sports. We kept it simple. We're Kiwi Sports.
All right, and you have your little handheld controller ready to go to buzz in.
And Jeff and I are going to team up, and we were just talking about those kids' toys that roll around on the floor, and they're shaped like a sea mine.
Mm-hmm.
Bumbleball. So we're going to be the Bumbleballs.
Oh, sorry about that. Yep. So, Mike, you are hosting today. You get the choice. Any particular rules read you would like to hear?
You still have the Chris Hansen one, right? I haven't heard that one in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Have a seat.
Listen. A seat, guys.
Chris Hansen here. Triviality Podcast is two rounds of 20 questions worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there's a special swing round by this week's host. In the final round, players wager points they've earned for a chance to become the cream of the crop. Stand by, and I'll be watching.
I am the cream.
There it was.
There it was. Make sure you throw away your McDonald's bags of paraphernalia and... You know,
get... I was just here to talk.
Yeah.
Oops.
Mike, feel free to take it away.
Question one, carbon dating. There are over 300 types of gemstones, but only one is made of just one element. What gemstone is it?
I'm cool with that.
All right. We're locking in Jeff and I in the studio.
Ooh, locking in quick. Ryan, what's your favorite gemstone?
The righteous kind.
Well, my first one was... diamond being crushed carbon. Would that be
carbon dating? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to. All my gem knowledge comes from the uncut kind.
Plus, if your dating is successful, you may give a diamond.
Well, yes. That just makes too much sense.
You know,
2022. You can do whatever you want. And I heard millennials are not buying diamonds. It's a real problem.
It's because we're poor.
Too much avocado
toast.
Can't
buy houses. Can't buy diamonds. Can't buy cars.
Why
NFTs?
Are millennials killing the diamond industry?
Diamonds. I can't even afford an emerald.
Cartel.
Well,
diamond. My dad bought a house for $15,000. Why can't you buy a house, millennial?
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. We're going to hope they're our best friend, and we're going to say diamonds.
Yeah, we're hoping that this answer is forever. We two said diamonds.
And that would be correct. Diamonds are made only of carbon. Okay. Question two, sigh of relief. Mike Marshall won it in 1974. Eric Gagne won it in 2003. These men were the first and most recent players at their position to win this award. What award is it?
We can lock in if you're okay, Ryan, with that.
Okay.
So you wrote Cy Young.
Patrick Roy?
Relief pitcher.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, he did say sigh of relief. So.
Oh, Cy Young. Okay. I picked up on the relief and you picked up on the sigh. So, sure. We'll say the Cy Young award.
Eric Gagne had an ERA of like under one that year. It was like ridiculous. He gave up no runs, 50 plus saves, etc.
That's pretty good.
Pretty sure that it's the Cy Young.
And that would be correct. It was the Cy Young. Eric Gagne had 55 saves that year.
Yeah, that's a lot of saves.
Yeah.
Mike Marshall pitched in over 100 games when he won the Cy Young, which is insane.
Wow.
Earning that paycheck.
Question three. Flex your jazz biceps. This jazz legend was the bandleader / narrator in the 1956 musical High Society. He appears throughout the film, sings the title song, and performs a duet with Bing Crosby called Now You Has Jazz. Who am I talking about?
I just watched this like 2 months ago.
Of course you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like on HBO Max. I'm like, oh, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby. I'll give it a play.
This guy.
Yeah.
This jazz legend. I think
I'm good with the first one, yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and lock in here.
All right. Do you have any ideas, Ryan?
Not really. No. It's not really mine. Well,
Ryan doesn't have jazz.
Nah.
Yeah, usually the only jazz legends I know are Karl Malone and John Stockton. But he did say flexing your jazz bicep, which would make your arm strong. And then I would think that would possibly be Louis Armstrong.
Very good. Yes.
You're getting the clues where we're just like missing the clues. But luckily, we also said Louis Armstrong.
Yeah. Matt nailed the clue right on the head. It was Louis Armstrong.
I'm much better at night. We should play all our games at night. I know.
Good job. Yeah. So High Society is actually sort of a musical rendition of Philadelphia Story. So it's basically the same story.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was like Pineapple Express. High Society.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Well, maybe they should remake it. Is that?
When I wrote the question, I didn't realize how hard it was going to say Now You Has Jazz.
Yeah.
Well, you have to properly say it, but like, Now You Has Jazz.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Not bad.
Thank you.
Question four. Eugene, Igene, We All Gene. From Mickey Mouse to Winnie the Pooh, Disney has many iconic characters. But which human Disney character's name is actually Eugene Fitzherbert?
Ryan should be in good position there with that bedroom.
Scour it for clues.
Maybe there's a what do they call those things? Fatheads, like the big posters on your wall of Eugene.
I just imagine that Prince Charming was actually named Eugene Fitzherbert.
Yeah, I would go by Prince Charming then too if I could.
Okay, we are gonna lock in with a guess because we don't really have a good idea here, but we picked a human cartoon character.
All right, Ryan. So we're thinking of a. Probably human character who has a nickname.
Mm.
Can you think of anything? Maybe this is Captain Hook, you think?
I thought his name was Hook.
No, he's Captain Hook.
Eugene has a hook.
Eugene Fitzherbert Hook.
It'd be crazy if his name was Hook and he had a hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my full name is actually Matthew James Podcaster. It's really weird.
It became a podcast.
You want to just lock in with Captain Hook?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Captain Hook is James Hook, I believe.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And we went with his compatriot, Smee.
Now, I think if you're a fan of Breaking Bad, that Walt Jr. has a lot in common with this character.
Well, the answer is Flynn Rider from Tangled.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
There it is.
I love Tangled. It's a great movie.
It's my favorite 3D Disney movie.
Very underrated.
Okay, question five. Presidential privates. There are 31 presidents who were once enlisted in the Army. Of these presidents, only one did not become a commissioned officer. The president before him was a brigadier general in the Mexican-American War, and the president after him was a captain in the Illinois militia during the Black Hawk War. Who was he?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, the one before, I'm not 100% sure of. Now, two before?
The timeline makes sense.
Well, and it also fits with the one after, I think. Yeah. So that's why I'm basing it on that answer.
Yes, and for those reasons we're in. For those vague reasons.
I think we're looking for a president somewhere in the 1840s, 50s, or 60s.
I think you're spot on with that. So. Yeah.
Good start.
That's where we guessed.
That's it. Yeah. And because I think that the president in the Illinois militia was Lincoln, which would, and then before that.
That's Buchanan.
That's so, and my guess was Buchanan. That's who I was thinking of. We're all shocked at your presidential knowledge.
What? They come up, they come up in trivia over here too. Yeah, so I remember them.
But if you're good with Buchanan, we can lock in with Buchanan.
Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. I knew for sure,
Fillmore. Pierce.
Well, Fillmore, yeah. But before Fillmore, that guy was definitely in the Mexican-American War. Older guy, number 12, can't remember. But anyways, we want James Buchanan.
My go-to answer for any U.S. president question, James Buchanan.
Is it Taylor before?
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Marion, Harrison, Taylor. Tyler, Pope, Taylor. Yeah, Taylor.
James Buchanan was a private in the defense of Baltimore during the War of 1812.
Oh,
wow.
When was that war?
It was also 1812 to 1814, okay. I think.
Well,
You go ahead.
No, I was going to say.
You're the score man.
After five questions, both teams, Kiwi Sports and Bumbleballs, both only missing one question, so we're tied at 40.
Neil E. Scorekeeper.
Okay. Question 6, goalie goal. Starting from 1982, which trophy is given to the goalies who played for the team that gave up the least amount of goals in the NHL? It was named after the president of the New York Rangers from 1962 to 1980.
You're on your own, Matt.
I know. And we're going to lock in. I have a name of a trophy, and it might be this one.
Okay, so you're thinking about hockey goaltender specific awards.
Yeah. So the award for the best goalie, which I think is voted on, is the Vezina. I don't know the least amount of goals award, but we could just go with Vezina.
Okay.
Because I don't know any others.
Yeah. And the other awards I can think of are for like other offensive stuff and defensive players. Mm-hmm. So
Vezina.
Yeah, I think there's a Bing trophy at some point too. The only one I knew that was goalie related was the Vezina, so we said Vezina.
Well, if it was prior to 1982, it would have been the Vezina, but they changed it up when they created the William M. Jennings Trophy.
Okay.
Oh.
I need to get some hockey knowledge on here.
Yeah,
I know.
I didn't know that.
We did knowledge things.
Uh-huh. Not as far as Vezina.
Okay, question 7. Seasonal shakeup. When I say seasonal food product, the first thing that comes to mind is probably pumpkin spice lattes. But what McDonald's seasonal menu item was introduced in 1970 in Chicago and has been milked ever since?
Yeah, we're locked in.
Ryan, what do you know about Mecca's?
I know that we have different menus to you, so that could be a problem. We have something called a McFlurry or something like that. That's the only sort of thing I can think of. I don't know if you have that.
We do, but it's not seasonal unless, except for the season of the ice cream machine not working, which is all of the season.
Actual conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look into it.
I don't think we have seasonal items on our.
The only one I could think of is the McRib, which is a very popular,
it's
disgusting
sandwich. Sporadically seasonal.
Yeah.
It has to be called the McRib because there's nothing rib related
in it. No, it is some sort of pork related product with more artificial like ribs. Yeah. Are you good with McRib?
Sure.
I believe it's pieces of pork organ with some rubber band slices.
Well, we think Chicago really goes for it every year when they dye the river green. We're going Shamrock Shake.
It is the Shamrock Shake. Come on, Matt. They milked it.
I know. Do you guys get Shamrock Shakes in New Zealand?
Nope. Never heard of it.
It is a green vanilla milkshake.
Chicago is, of course,
it's
now
got
the
some mint in it.
A little mint.
Current corporate world headquarters for McDonald's. So.
They are. I'm surprised you didn't get that having raced in the Shamrock Shuffle.
Yeah. A lot of problems over here.
All right, let's get the next one.
Do you guys get the McLobster, or is that a Canadian thing?
Hell no.
McLobster, no.
Oh, I would.
Yuck.
Is it alive?
If it's Canadian, it's probably like actual food.
you pick your lobster out of the tank up front.
No.
They deep fry it in front.
And then you watch Ronald McDonald
scream
burn
in the
it.
Back.
Yeah.
No, I worked at McDonald's, and the McLobster, what they gave us was a little plastic package that had little bits of lobster in it, and you'd throw it on the bun, throw it in the microwave, and then put the rest of the toppings on top.
Sounds appealing.
Nice. Oh, no.
It's fast food lobster. I don't know what you're expecting. Yes,
the bar should be very low for that one.
Okay, question 8. Gotta download them all. According to the official Pokemon website, there are 17 official Pokemon apps. One of those apps is a gacha game where you can get important characters from the games, such as gym leaders, Elite Four members, and rival characters. What is this app that shares its name with Ash's goal in the anime?
That's my guess, based on what his goal was.
Okay.
Sorry, man, I know nothing about Pokemon.
Oh, that's okay. I know a lot about Pokemon.
And how they go, go, go.
Yeah, the tagline has got to catch them all, but I believe his goal that he states in the first episode is that he wants to be a Pokemon.
King of Pirates. Oh, no, wait. Yeah. Sorry, that's different.
That's a different one? Is that One Piece?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to be a Pokemon Master, and I think Pokemon Master would be a good name for an app. So I think that's what we're going to lock in with, Pokemon Master.
We also said Pokemon Master.
And the app is called Pokemon Masters. So bang on.
We know our Pokemon.
This is the right demographic.
We need the Triviality Master app.
Clearly a bunch of weebs in this this recording.
It wasn't even me. Go with the next one.
Okay, question 9, Burning Coal. Born Nathan Birnbaum, which comedian reportedly got his name from a nickname his brother gave him and the coal company he would steal coal from as a youth? Try not to mix him up with the MLB player who won the 1926 AL MVP.
Oh, I could see him stealing coal.
He's an immoral man, after all.
I don't think we're going to get it. I'm fine going with that.
All right, we're locked in with a guess.
And in fact, I feel like I've seen that on a train.
Okay. All right. So we're locked in with an educated guess.
Potentially educated.
I said Jimmy Fox is a joke because he was a baseball player in the 20s who won an AL MVP. But Jamie Fox is a comedian whose name sounds very similar to Jimmy Fox.
He doesn't really strike me as a Birnbaum.
I know. That's Jamie Fox, I'm pretty sure, is a fake name.
It is, yeah.
So if we got nothing else, I guess we could just lock in with Jamie Foxx.
Sure, go for it.
Pretty sure I got my letters mixed up, but we went with Louis C.K.
Because that's probably a nickname.
Unfortunately, no correct answers here. The answer was George Burns.
Oh, George Burns.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he was more of a coal thieving generation too, you know.
Yeah.
The coal company was the Burns Brothers Coal Company. Question 10, newsworthy life. Who has their baby photo in the Metropolitan Museum of Art, became a model at the age of 10, interned at the CIA, and hosted the reality show The Mole?
We're locked in.
It was Ken, actually.
I loved The Mole when it first came out.
I've never seen The Mole. I don't think we got that here.
You didn't miss anything.
That. Great trash TV.
Yeah, so other than that...
Who is the mole? No. Rosie O'Donnell?
No, Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, that's right. That makes sense. Boy, I got the only thing I could think of is that this person was probably in their 40s in the early 2000s, was the child of a celebrity or somebody famous.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking more like a down a level, like a Jenny McCarthy sort of level.
Oh, Jenny McCarthy is a good one. I like Jenny McCarthy. Some of her views, not as much. But you know what? I like Jenny McCarthy. And I think we'll lock in with that.
Are we on the same page with Anderson Cooper?
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper.
Who I believe was very well connected since his grandmother was a Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And so was his mother.
And that's
that always
correct.
Helps.
Yeah.
It always helps to be related to the Vanderbilts.
Anderson Cooper was correct.
So after the first round, we finally have a lead change here. It looks like Team Kiwi Sports is at 50. They were betting 50% in the first round, and Bumble Balls is at 70.
Wow.
So we mentioned it at the top that Ryan and Mike are both Patreon supporters. So if you'd like to join them in supporting the show and helping us continue to grow, you can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast for just a bunch of great perks, including some live games that you've been doing, Matt, as well as a recent game that we posted, which was a live stream that we did that was a pay-to-see live stream, but we made it available for all our patrons for free. What else, Jeff?
Neil, I mean, what can I say? We have excellent bonus episodes that come out twice a month. One is trivia focused. One is more of an AMA. Both are great.
Love the crop drops.
Yeah. And those can be yours for as little as $5 a month and up. But yeah, any amount of support that you can pledge to our show greatly helps. And we appreciate everyone who can support us financially and does.
Yes, thank you, everyone. We're on our road to 500 patrons, so if you'd like to join, go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast, and if you're not in a position to help us monetarily right now, just rate and review the show. That would help us out a ton.
Tell a friend. All right, what's the swing round today?
Okay, so the swing round is, I'm calling it the Warren Dingus swing round. So I'm going to give you a short description, and you just need to give me a two-word answer that fits the description. The catch is that the two words have to be anagrams of each other. Okay, so if I were to say, forcefully request an EA Sports football game, six letters.
Demand Madden. Yep.
Okay, number one, fight between an iPad and an Amazon Fire HD 10, six letters. Number two, expulsion of gas on an inflatable boat, four letters. Number three, frozen gambling cubes, four letters. Number four, a valuable collection of election participants, five letters. Number six, a traditional beer mug that has been inserted into something, five letters. Number six, learning that has been sold to the highest bidder, nine letters. Number seven, thin triviality host, four letters. Number eight, refuses to take notice of certain areas, seven letters. Number nine, ripping apart an igneous rock used in counters and pavement, seven letters. And number 10, dog had a short cry of pain in a profound way, six letters.
All right, we'll consider these and we'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with our answers. These were a lot of fun. I think we got about eight of them, but we'll see. Let's get the questions one more time and we'll let you know.
Okay, the first one, fight between an iPad and an Amazon Fire HD 10, six letters.
We're starting off with the Battle Tablet.
We also had Battle Tablet.
I had Tablet Battle, but I will accept Battle Tablet. The second one, expulsion of gas on an inflatable boat, four letters.
fart raft, which is a lot funnier than raft fart, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the best way to make your raft go faster in any cartoon. It's the raft fart.
That would be raft fart. Again, as long as you have the two words, I will accept both. Number three, frozen gambling cubes. Four letters.
We have iced dice.
Which is how my mage likes to cast spells.
We also had iced dice.
If you keep rolling snake guys, you probably have iced dice. They're too cool. Number four, a valuable collection of election participants.
We have voter trove.
Yeah, this was all Ryan. I had no idea, but we said voter trove.
Yeah, I thought this was the hardest one, but you both got it right. Voter trove. Number five, a traditional beer mug that has been inserted into something.
Damn it if it's not Stein something, but we can't figure out the second word.
We just said it was a Stein set in.
Set in Stein.
Oh, you're so close.
You're so close. Yeah, Matt got the Stein, and then I got it inset.
It is inset Stein.
Inset. Ugh.
Okay.
Number six, learning that has been sold to the highest bidder. Nine letters.
Auctioned education.
We said education auctioned.
And it was auctioned education. Both correct. Number seven, thin triviality host.
That's a lean Neil.
Yeah, that was possibly the easiest one of the bunch. But yep, we also said lean Neil.
You heard that right. Neil's the easiest one in the bunch.
to anagram.
Yeah.
Possibly in other ways.
Yeah.
And the Neil lean is what he does at the clubs.
That's right. When everyone's leaning back,
yeah.
I'm doing the Neil lean.
Number eight. Refuses to take notice of certain areas. Seven letters.
Pretty sure one of these is ignores, but we couldn't unscramble it. So we just got ignores. Gin Rose.
We were ignores regions.
And it is ignores regions.
Very good.
Number nine, ripping apart an igneous rock used in counters and pavement.
We had tearing granite.
Which is the name of Ken and my new metal band.
Yes.
Yes, this one took us a few minutes, but we also got tearing granite.
And it's tearing granite. Number 10, dog had a short cry of pain in a profound way. Six letters.
Yelped deeply.
Mm-hmm. We also said yelped deeply.
And so did we as you swept that swing round.
Yeah, it was yelped deeply. Originally, my clue here was dog had a short cry of pain in a bass voice, but I'm not sure if that would have tripped people up.
After the swing round, it looks like Team Kiwi Sports is picking up 50, not missing a question in the swing round, bringing their total to 100. And Team Bumble Balls picking up 40, giving them a slight lead with 110.
Hey, round two, question one, personal personas. In the video game Persona 5, the main character fights using their persona, who is based on the character Arsène Lupin. This gentleman thief was created in 1905 by what French author? As far as I can tell, even though the author had a cast of friends, he did the spinoff.
See, I'm the only one here who watches Lupin.
I know.
Or Lupin, and everyone's ignoring me here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
All right.
I think you're right.
We're locked in.
Well, the spinoff was Joey.
Joey, yeah.
Triviani.
Is LeBlanc, is that...
Do you think that this could be, we could go with LeBlanc and hope that that's the name of an author? It sounds French.
Frenchish, yeah.
So. It's quite French.
So we are going to go with the French LeBlanc.
We too said the white or LeBlanc.
And the correct answer is Maurice LeBlanc.
All right.
Yeah. Arsène Lupin, obviously the famous gentleman thief, but... Maurice LeBlanc actually wrote him meeting Sherlock Holmes, but after some legal issues with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, he had to change the name, so he changed it to Herlock Sholmes.
Oh, man. Classic. That was how I thought I got away with everything in third grade.
Gotcha.
Okay, round two, question two. Two's Company. What company, which has been based in Springfield, Massachusetts, since 1852, has decided to move their headquarters to Maryville, Tennessee in 2023 due to a proposed legislation. According to the company's website, one of the key factors of the move to Tennessee is support for the Second Amendment.
All right, I think we have somewhat of an idea, so we're going to lock in here.
I have no idea. Do you have any idea?
No, I don't know anything.
What are some gun companies? You big gun guy?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big gun guy.
Not in New Zealand.
Nerf gun, right?
No. We don't do that over here.
No, they have responsible legislation. Can they hunt?
We do have hunting guns, but not like automatic things. Nothing like that.
Ryan hunts with his bare hands.
No. You got to pack it like through the end of the thing. Like a.
He's got the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment. Bare arms, bare hands. It's all the same. I have no idea. Do you think it could be the Bass Pro Shop? They sell a lot of guns.
Okay.
I don't know. It was like, what's sporting? I'm thinking of a sporting goods store that would have a lot of, that would sell a lot of guns.
Something with like two people in their name or something.
Well, that, I mean, two so names. Like Smith & Wesson is a gun manufacturer and there's two of them, Smith and Wesson.
Smith couldn't have done it without Wesson.
So he says, we don't know. I don't
Wesson,
know them.
Wesson was just the money guy.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this company.
Regardless, do you feel better with that? Does that sound more likely?
I honestly have no clue. So,
this is Duck Dynasty. Oh, they've been around since that long. Let's say Smith & Wesson.
Yeah, based on the twos company category, we also said Smith & Wesson, though we did also consider Winchester.
It is Smith & Wesson. All interesting right. That you bring up Winchester, though, because while they say they're founded in 1852, that was the first version of the company, which became the Winchester's gun company.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah. Well, you can learn more by watching Supernatural.
Okay, question three. Fictional dicks. Created by Edward Stratemeyer, brothers Frank and Joe made their debut in 1927. Their adventures were written by several ghostwriters under the pseudonym of Franklin W. Dixon. The book series was so popular, a female counterpart by the name of Nancy was created. What book series am I talking about? And I want to be clear that I'm talking about the book series with Frank and Joe.
Okay, we think we know this in the studio, so we'll go ahead and lock in.
All right, Ryan, what do you know about these boys?
Is this the Hardy Boys?
I think, I always thought their counterpart was Lita, but I guess it was Nancy at the time. So
this isn't the Boxcar Children?
No. I think
there's a lot of those.
I'm pretty sure it's Hardy Boys, so we will lock in with the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, I'm a bigger fan of Tom, but we said the Hardy Boys.
And the answer is Hardy Boys. Of course, Nancy being Nancy Drew.
I hear they're getting rebooted with a Z on the end of boys, and they wear chains on their jeans.
Hardy Boys to Men.
That's a good before and after. You got to remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question four. This question is brought to you by Parade Raptor Legends. When the Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship in 2019, their victory parade lasted over 5 hours. During the parade, Kyle Lowry could be seen wearing the jersey of the Raptors' first ever draft pick. That pick was the 1995-1996 Rookie of the Year and is currently an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics. Whose jersey was he wearing?
Not Drake, right?
Locked in.
Yeah, I figured.
Oh, Matt's locked in this time.
No, Drake currently plays Duke Raptors. Ask me.
You cool with that, Ryan?
Oh, do you, yeah. Do you remember the 95 draft? I was a big fan.
Yeah, he just usurped you.
All right. Do you have any idea whatsoever?
Vince Carter?
Sure.
Cool.
I love Vince Carter, whoever that is.
Air Canada, drafted in 1998.
Damn.
I
knew he played for the Raptors.
He did play for the Raptors until he forced his way out to New Jersey. I'm pretty sure that he was wearing a Damon Stoudemire jersey. So we said Damon Stoudemire.
The answer is Damon Stoudemire. In a weird twist of fate, Damon Stoudemire was traded from the Raptors for a package that included Gary Trent, whose son is now currently playing for the Toronto Raptors.
Gary Trent Jr. That's how you know you're old, is when the sons of players you liked as a kid are now also in the league.
Yeah.
Like Gary Payton III.
Yeah, really. Remember when Gary Payton the first was in the league?
Yeah, here's the third.
Oh, okay. Question five, losing pounds. What imperial unit is equivalent to 14 pounds? When the United States derived their measurements and weights from the British imperial units at the time, this unit was never brought over.
We are locked in.
Yeah.
Stone? No.
Oh. That sounds right. I once knew how much stone I weighed, and then I lost track. So I think stone's a great answer. We're going to lock in with stone.
Yeah, I usually stop counting after 16 stone. So we said stone.
And the correct answer is a stone.
All right. Let's get a score recap from Neil E. Scorekeeper.
Well, it looks like Team Bumble Balls picking up 40 points, bringing their total to 150. And Team Kiwi Sports betting perfect, picking up an extra 50, tying Bumble Balls also with 150.
How dare you?
Shout out Damon Stoudemire.
Okay. Question six, actors' egos. This superhero alter ego was created by taking the first names of two actors. One of those actors was known as the King of Hollywood, and the other appeared in more than 110 films. What is the alter ego?
Jeff wrote something down very quickly, and I like it, so we're going to go with it.
What are you thinking?
Poor Peter Parker.
I don't have any ideas yet, no.
Okay, so my first guess was Clark Kent, Clark being Clark Gable, and Kent being Kent Movie Man. I don't know.
It's pronounced movie man.
That was something I thought of. I'm trying to think of other, because I don't think it'd be like a Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I'm happy to go with Clark Kent. I think that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go with the classic, put your glasses on and say Clark Kent.
Yeah, we did a quick change in a phone booth. We said Clark Kent.
Well, named after Bruce Campbell and Wayne Brady. No, kidding. named after Clark Gable and Kent Taylor. It's Clark Kent.
Good polls.
I thought you were going to say
Neil, who John is Wayne. Kent Taylor?
I actually don't know.
And you call yourself a Hollywood film buff.
He was in over 110
Kent Taylor was,
films.
Very much a B-list actor.
And you call yourself a Hollywood.
Yeah. He just worked a lot.
He worked quite a bit. Yeah,
he was the Rob Schneider of his time.
I will deep dive on.
Rob Schneider's got another 75 films to go.
All right, let's get the next one here.
Question seven. To be frank, when Frank Sinatra died, he was buried with a pack of Camel cigarettes, a Zippo lighter, a dollar worth of dimes, and a bottle of what? Just a reminder that this is question number seven of the second round.
All right. We will lock in unconfidently, but locked in nonetheless.
All right, Ryan. Any ideas?
No, I don't get the clue on this one, unfortunately.
Okay, so it's question seven. I think old Frankie Blue Eyes was a 7-7 man. The 7 being 7-Up, and the other 7 being Seagram's Gin, Seagram's 7. So we will lock in with Seagram's Gin.
We also locked in with Seagram's.
Oh, you're forgetting the branding on there. There's a type of liquor that is Sinatra Select after his love of this liquor, and he'd always have it when he sang on stage. It'd be Jack Daniels.
It is Jack Daniels.
Okay. Good to know.
There are two liquors with a 7?
How dare they?
Oh, is it Tennessee Whiskey number 7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crap.
Whoops.
Okay, question 8. Sight for sore eyes. In early 2017, a Dutch ophthalmologist studied 92 films featuring a comedic duo. The ophthalmologist concluded that they probably suffered 88 eye injuries across their career, with one of the comedian's finger being the most common cause and his fist being the second most common. Who is this cuckoo comedic duo?
All right, we will go ahead and lock in. We're not positive, but we think we're onto something.
Oh, boy. Comedic duos, a lot of eye stuff. What are you thinking?
I was just trying to think of comedic duos and came down to like Abbott and Costello and I don't know.
Cheech and Chong.
Well, I think The only thing is the Marx Brothers, Groucho and other Marks, whose name I can never remember.
Harper.
Harper.
Carl. Harpo. Harper Marks.
He's from Laguna Beach. But, hey guys, I'm with Groucho.
Harper Marks.
Meet you at Abercrombie.
Bruno,
but
right?
They were
Bruno Marks.
They were Carl. He's coming along. They had glasses though, so they wouldn't do the eye stuff.
There was at least three of them in every film.
Ugh. Do you want to? I mean, all I could think of is who were. It's got maybe Abbott and Costello. Maybe they did more physical comedy than we thought.
Yeah. Okay.
We're gonna do Abbott and or Costello.
Yeah, we were thinking about the Three Stooges as well, but obviously they're a trio, so we went with Abbott and Costello.
Well, you're both incorrect. The Cuckoo was the hint there, as their theme song is known as the Cuckoo Song, Cuckoo, or Dance of the Cuckoos. This is Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, Laurel and Hardy.
There was another duo.
They were inflicting pain. I don't know. I've never seen any of those.
One of my favorite parts about the study is the conclusion they came up with, which they ended with, the findings of the present study might reflect the personality, character, and intellectual capacity of both Laurel and Hardy as two minds without a single thought.
It's like our podcast. That's our new review on iTunes.
Yeah. Someone got paid to do that study, I'm pretty sure. Okay, question 9. Don't punt this question. Ponte Vecchio, Pont du Gard, and Cio Sepol are all names of what? If I named a fourth one, they could play a card game.
Let's say, I have no idea on this one, Jeff, so let's just say they're the four suits in Italian.
Hmm.
So you guys are
you
live.
You have your wedding suit? The one you're buried in?
No, the like cards.
Oh. Jeff.
Yes, we're locked in.
I wanted to
see. So honestly,
go with that.
If you could my idea was suits. Because you would think if you had four suits, you need four suits to play a game. And that makes sense to me. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. I was on the same track with cards. I was going through, are they kings or queens or...
Yeah, jokers.
Yeah. But yeah, so I like suits more. Yeah.
So we will say suits.
My experience tells me that you just need four jokers to play the game known as Triviality.
So the correct answer is actually bridges.
Oh.
The Ponte Vecchio is in Florence. I've actually been there. It's beautiful and very expensive. The Pont du Gard is in Rome. And the Cio Sepol is an Iranian bridge.
Cool.
And question 10. A good lick. In 2007, Canada issued 4 52-cent commemorative stamps honoring Canadian recording artists. These stamps featured Paul Anka, Joni Mitchell, Anne Murray, and a Canadian folk legend, who, in March of 2020, released his 21st studio album solo, 54 years after his debut album. Who is this man?
My thought is not a great one, so...
They didn't put Chad Kroeger on a stamp.
I don't know if this person's old enough either.
From Kentucky. Oh. And then more bluegrass.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then I don't know.
We're
come up with an answer.
Tapping out.
Okay. So my Canadian folk knowledge begins and ends with Rick Astley. I don't even think he's Canadian.
Irish.
I was so close.
Alvaro Conner.
What? My biggest thought was Neil Young.
Yeah, the Southern Man didn't need Neil Young.
He's not young.
And he must be from the North then. So that would make sense to me.
I'm not 100% sure he's Canadian. But
well, he's honorary Canadian. Because I was thinking that Simon Garfunkel era, they added Neil Young at some point, didn't they? Wasn't there?
And it was Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Yeah, let's go with Neil Young. That sounds good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you guys are right. We just had to tap out on this one because we were blanking.
He was born in Toronto, so.
Yeah, Neil Young is Canadian, but the answer I was looking for is Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh,
the wreck of our scores, Ken.
Yep.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Speaking of, Neil, why don't you creep around our back stairs and tell us what the points are going into the final?
I hope that was a reference.
To Gordon Lightfoot, yes.
Nice reference there you pulled out. Well, looks like we're going to be tied going into the final. Both teams only picking up 20 points in the second half of the second round. So the scores are 170 going into the final round. And just a quick note, Rick Astley is from Lancashire, England. So he's actually English. So
okay.
Thank you for that note.
Yeah.
The final round's going to be a little bit different than what you're used to. You're only going to make 4 wagers, as the 5th question is going to be a sort of a bonus question that would be worth 30 points.
Okay.
So you have music movie mashup, equivalent to Babe Ruth, Oscar minor winner, and second number one for 2.
All right, the wagers are now in, so let's go ahead and hear the questions.
Okay, music movie mashup. This is a before or after. The Village People sing about how masculine Woody Allen is in this 1979 film where he dates Mariel Hemingway after Meryl Streep leaves him for a woman. Okay. Equivalent to Babe Ruth. The New York Times named Babe Ruth and a racehorse as the leading leaders in sports in 1920. Arguably the greatest racehorse of all time, this racehorse won 20 of the 21 races he was entered in. Who is this racehorse that shares his name with a jellyfish and a combat ship? Oscar minor winner. This composer has been nominated for 22 Oscars, but has only won 2, winning the Oscar for Best Original Song for a 2001 Disney movie and a 2011 Disney movie. I was shocked to find out he didn't win an Oscar for a 1995 Disney movie. The voters must have been uncultured swine. Who is this composer? Second number one for 2. Jason Derulo and Josh 685 released a song in 2020, which was then remixed by BTS. The remix made it to number one on the Billboard Top 100, making it the second number one hit for both BTS and Jason Derulo. Name that song.
Jason Derulo. I can take a stab.
Okay.
Maybe.
And the final question?
Okay. The final question, this bonus question, category, a theme is a twist your host makes. Surprise, this was a theme quiz the entire time. So this is, if you've listened to the podcast foreplay, this is going to play a little bit like that. So if you split the first round into groups of 5, so question 1 to 5, there's something in common with all the answers there. Same with questions 6 through 10 in round 1. Same with question 1 to 5 in round 2, and question 6 to 10 in round 2. If you find the commonality hidden in all the answers, all 4, they will point to a bigger theme. Oh, I should have said, I'm going to take 5 points for each commonality, and then 10 points for the overall theme.
Okay, we'll consider these, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police,
like she should have, exactly. Exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face-Off launches April 9th.
All right, you guys are ready? We're ready? Everybody's ready. Let's get the questions one more time and give our answers.
Okay, music movie mashup. The Village People sing about how masculine Woody Allen is in this 1979 film where he dates Mariel Hemingway after Meryl Streep leaves him for a woman.
For 30 points, we said Macho Macho Manhattan.
We wagered 30, and Ryan, you came up with this one. What did we say?
Yeah, we got Macho Manhattan as well.
And it was Macho Manhattan. Equivalent to Babe Ruth. The New York Times named Babe Ruth in a racehorse. Who was the racehorse?
Fortunately, wagering 0 on this one, because we knew it, was Manowar.
Yeah, we wagered 20, and I believe this is the guy that sired War Emblem, who also won a Kentucky Derby. But I might be wrong. We said Manowar.
It's Manowar. I believe you're right on that, Matt. But I do know for a fact Manowar grandsired Secretariat.
Mm. Good genes.
Good horse genes.
Oscar Minor winner. This composer has been nominated for 22 Oscars, but has only won 2, winning the Oscar for Best Original Song for a 2001 Disney movie, 2011 Disney movie. Shocked to find out he didn't win an Oscar for the 95 Disney movie. Voters must have been uncultured swine. Who's the composer?
We just took a stab with a very famous Disney composer. We said Alan Menken.
We wagered 20 on this, and if we're right, then Ryan, you got a friend in me, because we said Randy Newman.
And it is Randy Newman.
No way.
But people get to...
That's what I said.
He didn't... the song that won, the year he probably could have won for You've Got a Friend in Me, was actually Colors of the Wind.
Oh,
from Pocahontas.
That was Alan Menken.
That's a great song.
Jungle out there.
Randy Newman didn't get... his Oscar until Monsters, Inc.
Can we get Randy Newman to do the rules read?
The that would be great.
Up the game of simple. I mean, you could just do it. That's save ourselves a couple hundred bucks. Blink on Cameo.
Oh,
okay.
Joe questions got no answers.
Who is this for?
Us.
I'm really glad I brought Randy Newman.
All right, number four.
Second number one for two. Jason Derulo and Josh 685 released a song in 2020. It was released by BTS. The remix made it to number one on the Billboard Top 100, making it the second number one hit for BTS and Jason Derulo. Name that song.
That's a lot of stuff I don't understand, so I pass it to Jeff.
I think it's Savage Love.
30 points for Savage Love.
Wow. Oh, we wager 20. Not big BTS guys over here, apparently. We just said Butter. I know it's a song by them.
I'm a big Derulo fan.
Oh.
And it's Savage Love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job.
When I was writing this question, I got into debate with my friends about if Jason Derulo and DJ Khaled wrote a song together, whose name would you hear first?
The universe would implode.
That's the consequence of such a horrible song.
I came to the conclusion that you'd hear DJ from DJ Khaled, but as soon as you hear the J, you get Jason Derulo.
Mm-hmm.
So you get Jason Derulo.
Oh, I like that.
And you just never hear Khaled, so you don't know who's the DJ.
Another one, they'd say. And we want another one. Let's go to number five.
A theme is a twist your host makes. What was the theme of the quiz? 5 points for each group of five and 10 points for the overall theme.
Well, we stared at all the answers and our eyes crossed and we just could not do it. So we tapped out, but we heard you guys talking and now we feel a little dumb.
Yes, Vanity, thy name is Matt. We figured it out. The first five are all Neils. You got your Neil Diamonds, your Neil Youngs, your Neil Armstrongs, etc. Number two's block were all Matts, Matt LeBlanc, Matt Hardy, Matt other people. Matt Damon, I believe, is involved. For block three, we had Kens, including Ken Jennings and the rest. And Jeff Bridges is all as far as we got. We figured it out. They're triviality hosts. Give us our points.
You skipped Neil Flynn and Matt Smith. How dare you?
I apologize.
Yeah. I'll go over some of these less known here. Neil Buchanan is the host of a show called Art Attack that was on for like 17 years. Okay. That might be a little, I don't know. It was my entire childhood.
Okay.
It was along for a while. But Ken Jennings, obviously Jeopardy Leonard. Ken Shamrock was the wrestler. Ken Masters is a street fight character. Ken Burns, documentary director. And Ken Anderson was Mr. Kennedy.
We got a few wrestlers on here.
Yeah, actually, there's quite a few, yeah. The Matts, Matt LeBlanc, Matt Smith, Matt Hardy, the wrestler, Matt Damon, Matt Stone, South Park creator. And the Jeffs, you got Jeff Kent, baseball player, Blue Jays legend. Not really, Giants legend. Jeff Daniels, Jeff Hardy. So I got both the Hardys. Jeff Bridges and Jeff Gordon.
Great pull on that one, guys. So you get 30 points. We don't lose any on that one. So we earned 30 points on the final round.
Yeah, you're going to bring your total to 200 for today, but picking up a total of 80 extra points in the final round, bringing their total to 250, is the Kiwi Sports, today's Cream of the Crop.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
Cue the Wii Sports victory sound.
I can't believe you teamed up with Ryan and revenged us.
Yes, you just got revenged.
Ryan, great effort today.
Thank you.
Hope you had fun. Any final shout-outs for you?
No, just thanks so much for having me, guys. I thank my wife for looking after the baby while I'm doing this, but she's not going to listen to it anyway.
I know the feeling. Matt doesn't listen to the show either.
That's true.
Well, thank you so much for your support and for joining us today. And Mike, great, great game.
Thanks. Worked hard on it.
Well, it shows. And any last shout-outs for you?
I'd like to shout-out to anyone who doesn't know the opposite of it is. But for real... I'd like to give a shout out to everyone who play tested this, be it the people in the Triviality Discord and my parents and my sister, who on a 3-hour road trip, I forced them to play test.
We love the play testers and your family. Well, that'll do it for the show today.
That'll do it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure to rate and review and subscribe. It'll help us continue to grow. For Matt, Ken, Jeff, Ryan and Mike, my name is Neil, and that was Triviality.
Mostly names, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, regular names.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, like, maybe not Pinocchio or Geppetto, or, but they have names.
Yeah.
What are these people with names?
And they're Italian.
Yeah. Eugene doesn't sound
Eugene if it's Herbert.
Japan, I mean, why didn't you change your name to Eugene?
Why are you not talking with your accent anymore?